This episode of The Fix has been made possible with support from the Wealthy Her Network, established to champion the diversity of women's wealth with the end goal of better servicing female investors and returning a greater impact for the benefit of everyone.
I grew up in a very, very conservative little bubble of a town. Growing up, I was really told to stifle my identity to fit in. I was told that the way I learned and my whole take on being a creative individual as a young person, I was really told to hold back on that because it could draw negative attention to me, whether it was me wanting to participate in art or wanting to dress the way I wanted to dress. But through my conservative upbringing, I found ways to secretly kind of embrace my identity as a young woman, because to people who may not know my story, I was actually born male and I'm transgender.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you're listening to The Fix, a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. Teddy Quinlivan is a 24-year-old model from a small town in Massachusetts. At the age of 16, Teddy transitioned from male to female, finally coming out as a transgender model on CNN in 2017. Teddy is now an established model, having walked hundreds of shows and starred in editorials from Vogue to InStyle, modeled the lookbooks of top designers like Diane von Furstenberg and Marc Jacobs. She's worked with just about every photographer, makeup artist, and hairstylist you can imagine. By coming out in such a public way, Teddy hoped to inspire visibility and acceptance across the industry and encourage others to give more transgender models platforms to be successful just as they are. This work is sorely needed, as the Human Rights Campaign suggests there are at least 700,000 transgender people in the United States alone, and this is a conservative estimate. By being a voice for this community, Teddy hopes to make it easier for others to share their story. In this episode, Teddy will share the key challenges she's faced and how each of us can support the transgender community.
I grew up in this really conservative place, and I'm a young trans person, and I haven't really come to terms with being transgender because at the time, there was really no public discussion about what it means to be transgender. And the only kind of education I had on being trans was through watching Jerry Springer and Maury Povich, and kind of this very, very negative perception of trans identity, which is you're trying to trick men, it's a weird sexual fetish. And so for me, I started to become really concerned with the way I was feeling and thinking, and I really tried to conceal the fact that I felt deep down that I was female inside. And then when I was 16 years old, I came out to my mom, and luckily I had a very supportive family, and very swiftly I changed from public high school to an art-focused boarding school where I could be more of myself.
It was through pursuing her love of art that Teddy discovered modeling. When attending the Walnut Hills School for the Arts, Teddy met other students who had also been ostracized for one reason or another. And this is where she started to discover her identity. Despite presenting as female, Teddy was still strongly discouraged from coming out transgender publicly because of the fear of getting hurt. So she kept her story to herself and continued school, where she was encouraged to pursue a career in modeling.
One day, a teacher told me, my painting teacher said I should try modeling. And at the time, as a young trans person, I just never thought that could be a possibility for me. I thought no matter what I did, because I was transgender, I was going to have a really tough time and struggle with it, you know, in any normal profession, let alone modeling, which is something where you're kind of like, you're changing in front of people backstage, and your body ends up becoming your work. And so I was really nervous about that. But one thing led to another. And when I was 17 years old, I signed to an agency. And then I moved to Paris when I graduated high school by myself, much to the dismay of my family, because I had this great scholarship to this great school. And I was really putting my future on the line to pursue something that kind of seemed like a pipe dream, but it was something that I really wanted to take a chance on. And I was going to go to school to study fashion anyway. So for me, modeling was like really a great way to sort of break into the fashion world. I thought, okay, well, even if I don't walk any big shows or don't do anything, at least I'm going to be making connections, getting to know people. And in the beginning, it was really tough, but I started to work more and more. And then I got a huge contract with Louis Vuitton. I was about to quit modeling actually like a month prior, and then I changed agencies in Paris, and a casting director noticed me and introduced me to the designer of Louis Vuitton, Nicolas Ghesquière, and the stylist, Marie-Amélie Souvet. And I was very lucky because I booked that gig, and that gig, and because of the people who believed in me at that point, that was really the launching pad for my career, was starting to walk exclusively with Louis Vuitton. And when you walk exclusively, that means that you can't work for any other brands. So they really have like the exclusive on you as a model. And they kind of give you permission on what editorials and jobs you can book. And Louis Vuitton is such a prestigious brand that it got me a lot of attention.
Transgender people come from all walks of life. They're dads, moms, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, co-workers, neighbors. They're a diverse community representing all racial, ethnic, and religious backgrounds. In fact, research by the Human Rights Campaign finds that 10% of young people identify themselves as transgender or other gender, which includes things like genderqueer, genderfluid, or androgynous. And this suggests that a large portion of this generation's youth are identifying somewhere on the broad transgender spectrum. Given this, it's so important for all of us to hear and share stories like Teddy's, as this raises people's understanding of the challenges the transgender community experiences, and hopefully makes it easier for all members of this community to share their story.
I concealed the fact that I was transgender throughout the course of my modeling career because I was so deeply afraid at how it could damage me and damage my reputation and how it could hurt me. I was this unassuming transgender kid growing up in the middle of Massachusetts, and modeling just kind of fell into my lap, and one thing led to another, and I became a top model. And then I was faced with this decision of, you know, Trump was elected into office and he was starting to take away rights from transgender individuals, whether it was serving in the military or taking away protections from transgender kids. And I really had to come to terms with the fact that even though I was so scared to come forward with my transition and how that was a part of my identity professionally, I felt like it was something I needed to do to make a statement to not just, you know, Donald Trump, because I didn't think he would hear anything on my story, but anybody that could hear what I had to say and hear what I had gone through and hear my struggle and seeing that I was a productive member of society and that, you know, there were some people out there who found me attractive. I wanted to give that message to the world and let people know that transgender people aren't just, you know, this kind of freak show that we're often portrayed in media to be, but we're here and we're working and we're contributing to the world in positive ways and we're making a positive impact. And you don't know who a transgender person could be. It could be your coworker and you don't know it. It could be that girl you've had a crush on for years or that boy you've had a crush on. It could be the girl on the cover of a magazine that you're buying.
When Teddy shared her story on CNN in 2017, the aim was to use her platform to make it easier for other transgender people to come out. In doing this, Teddy has had to face a lot of backlash, which she's tackling head on. In fact, these challenges have motivated her to continue telling her story, which is why on June 22nd this year, Teddy will be speaking at the TEDx Chelsea Park event in New York, which is live streamed for anyone to follow.
I think the most difficult part of my journey personally has been coming to terms with the idea that I, as kind of like the minority of minorities, because there are just so little transgender people in the world in perspective to the global population, that there are just people who aren't going to get it and they're not going to understand. And because they haven't experienced it or because they don't know somebody who's gone through it. And I think the biggest challenge has just been, how do I reach people who are really set in their mindset that being transgender is a choice and that it's sinful, quote unquote, or it's a negative lifestyle choice, which it's not a choice at all, of course, but trying to fight kind of the stigma attached to being trans has been definitely the most difficult part of my journey. But I think I've been pleasantly surprised at how receptive people have been. So I thought it was going to be so much worse than it really has been. And you learn tools and techniques on how to ignore people who don't respect your identity, essentially. And you learn to ignore the internet trolls and the people who are just making negative comments. And I've just had to come up with different tools and techniques to try to reach people in a different way. And I think when I was younger, a big piece of that was I was very angry that people didn't get it. And I was going on Instagram and writing rants and just not understanding and being mad. But I learned that I needed to have sympathy for those people that didn't have access to a diverse crowd of people that they could interact with to really, you know, understand the humanity of transgender LGBTQ individuals.
Despite the increased visibility of transgender celebrities like actress Laverne Cox or writer Janet Mock, many Americans still don't personally know anyone who's transgender. But the number who do is growing. According to a 2016 survey, 35% of likely voters in the United States personally know or work with someone who's transgender. That's more than double the number in 2014. Getting to know the transgender community is how each of us begin to learn about the challenges they face, and more importantly, what we can do to tackle these issues.
I think for people who don't necessarily understand the struggles of being transgender, or don't even really understand what it means, I think a great place to go actually is the internet. Like, if you don't know any transgender people personally, or if you've never met somebody who's trans or felt comfortable enough to have that dialogue, luckily we have so many different means of social media with so many different transgender people and non-binary people and LGBTQ people sharing their stories and their struggles and their identity. So I think even going to a place like YouTube and listening to a transgender vlogger or internet personality like Gigi Gorgeous, like Nikita Dragon, even Laverne Cox, if you looked up some Laverne Cox interviews on YouTube, I think really just exposing yourself to seeing those people talk and the way they articulate their lifestyle and how they've come to be the people that they are and how they contribute to society, that's the best educational tool. There are people who have these public personalities. So if you just Google their names, it's really easy to start to understand more about what it means to be trans. So you don't even really need to know somebody who's trans. You can just, you know, take the initiative to go on the internet and research it, because you could get the opinion of a conservative Fox News commentator, but they're not transgender individuals and they don't know what it's like to walk in the shoes of a trans person or live those experiences. So I'd say going directly to a trans person to get that research and to gain that knowledge is really critical and really important. I think it's really easy to have an opinion on it, but it's much more difficult to understand it without, you know, having somebody there to discuss it with you.
The transgender community continued to face significant challenges in day-to-day life. Some of the specific issues include a lack of legal protection, poverty, violence, discrimination, harassment, and a lack of access to healthcare and legal identification. These challenges make it exceptionally difficult for people like Terry to find their identity and voice.
The most challenging thing that I've had to overcome is just learning to love myself, I think, has been the biggest challenge, especially when you work in an industry that's so focused on the superficial, like the fashion industry or the entertainment industry. Learning to find my own voice and my own identity in an industry that constantly suggests that you remain silent and quiet and don't speak up and you're not pretty enough and you're not skinny enough and your hips aren't too wide to fit into that outfit. There's so many factors in fashion that make you feel less than and make you feel less beautiful or not good enough. So being able to find that kind of inner confidence has definitely been the biggest challenge for me, because being transgender is just one part of it. But when you're constantly being picked apart for your opinions or having opinions in general as a model, which is, you know, kind of really frowned upon in the industry, that has been a struggle in itself and a really difficult challenge to overcome. You have to just learn to teach yourself the importance of loving yourself, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're a model or what industry you work in, there's going to be people who pick you apart for no reason or stupid reasons. And you have to be able to pick yourself up at the end of the day and look in the mirror and love yourself regardless of what people say to you.
Finally, Teddy shares her advice for anyone who's discovering their identity.
My one piece of advice is you were born transgender and you will die transgender. And that's something I had to come to terms with. There is no greater joy than living your truth and fulfilling that void that only, you know, living your truth can really fill. And I think that you have to be willing to suffer the consequences of people not understanding and not getting it and being discriminatory and feeding into the negative stereotypes of what it means to be transgender or believing those stereotypes. So you have to be ready to face that. But you also have to be ready to know that this is something that you're doing for yourself, and you're doing this so that you can live a happy life and you're not doing it for anybody else. And I think just coming to terms with potential consequences and being comfortable with leaving friends behind, perhaps, or getting a new job where people do understand you. You know, life is about change and progression. And if you come out and you're scared that people aren't going to get it, go someplace or find people that do get it and do support you and do love you and want the best for you. And it's a hard thing to ask of somebody, and it's a hard thing to find, but it's an important favor to do yourself so you can live truly and freely. With any secret that you might have or any kind of aspect of your identity that you don't want revealed or that could be discriminated against, that's an extremely important factor, is just finding the right people that are going to support you no matter what. Because in a world of over 7 billion people, not everybody is going to get it. Not everybody is going to take your side. Not everybody is going to understand. And you have to learn that maybe being less popular is a consequence of living truly and freely.
It was so great to speak with Teddy and unpack her unconventional journey and to find out what each of us can do to better support the transgender community. I'm excited to share that I'll be joining Teddy at this year's TEDx Chelsea event on June 22nd in New York to share my story. I would like to invite all of you to join me, so please make sure you get your ticket and you can use the discount code TheFix, or you can watch the event through the live stream. Here, one of the event organizers, Carissa Lintayo, shares a bit more about what you can expect.
The main goal of TEDx and, you know, TEDx Chelsea Park that we're trying to strive to aim for is that we're aiming to showcase, you know, the broadest spectrum of voices. So we're welcoming, you know, great thinkers, doers, creators, and visionaries from all areas of thought and work in life. So anyone who falls into those buckets, we want them involved in the event in every way, shape, and form. So our goal of the event is to ensure that, you know, everyone's voice is are heard and it's shared to a very special audience. We're held to about 100 attendees for this specific event, as it's our first one, but you know, we want to really kick us off with a bang. We have a stellar lineup, and you know, we're gearing up to an even bigger 2020 event. But this year's themes is unconventional journeys, so we really respect like New York City, and we know that something that New York City obviously brings to the table is diversity of thought and people in general. So we thought, you know, a great first theme would be unconventional journeys and, you know, just giving people a stage to share their God's honest truth, you know, with no boundaries or anything. Just we want the raw you. So that's why we chose unconventional journeys.
If you would like to attend the event, please purchase your ticket via the website, TEDxChelseaPark.com. I'm really looking forward to seeing you all there. In today's Wealthy Her Weekly Fix, we're joined by Kirsty Moore from HSBC. Kirsty is also a member of the Wealthy Her Network, and today she'll be sharing how to be more visible and active in organizations.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kirsty Moore, and I'm Managing Director at HSBC Private Banking, and I head up our London Relationship Management team. What I love about the Wealthy Her Network is it embodies a new way of working. It's a small number of firms with a similar mindset coming together to change the financial service industry for the greater good. Traditionally, the finance industry has been geared towards men, but with an ever-growing number of women achieving financial success, it's now time to ensure women feel empowered with the right knowledge to engage more confidently with the industry. My fix I want to share today is being visible, ensuring that women are both visible and active within organisations. There are a large number of talented women working within finance, and with the emergence of new networks, mentoring programmes, targeted industry gatherings and peer-to-peer networking opportunities, there's now more than ever support available. My golden tip today for this fix is to ensure you have a mentor. I really champion mentoring. I've run our internal program here for the last 5 years and I really see the benefits from both sides. Mentoring can really help increase your self-confidence. It can really challenge you to go further. Importantly, your mentor will open their own network to you. Increasing your visibility by widening your network means also building your own personal brand, what you believe in and what you stand for. Connecting with like-minded individuals can help you do this quicker and it can really boost your confidence. Help each other with profile opportunities through personal and professional connections. Remember that you can achieve more and faster by doing it together.
I really hope you all enjoyed today's episode. If you haven't already, please sign up to our podcast newsletter at thefixpodcast.org. And you can also follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or Podbean, or wherever you get yours. Thanks again for tuning in, guys, and I'll catch you all again next week.
This show is produced by Human Group Media, an award-winning social good podcast company. Human Group Media works with thought leaders, brands, and organizations to inspire social change through the power of audio storytelling.